Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at Breezeline.com.
Congregation, it's your girl Lacey Mosley, aka Scam Goddess, and we're back for another installment of Scam Goddess. And I'm especially proud and very what? Yes, excited. Don't y'all love our parasocial relationship? It's like we are real friends in real life, because we is, y'all. We is. Now, I scammed a little bit to get these two on the show. I ran into them at a function. Oh, I actually ran into one of them at a function, and I was like, oh, you got it to my podcast. And, you know, it finally worked out. My people hit his people and chased them down and hunted them like Liam Neeson and Taken. Did a lot of neck chopping, and now we're here. Today, we have two legendary drag queens on the show. One is an iconic comedian, recording artist, DJ, and former roommate of RuPaul. Ew. The other is a guest and a winner. I had to put some pause in that. And a winner of RuPaul's Drag Race. Y'all know All-Star Season 4. Y'all know how hard that is, okay? Along with Trinity Tuck. And we'll be competing in Drag Race All-Star Season 7. Y'all know we love Drag Race All-Stars. That's on Paramount Plus. That's where iCarly lives. Y'all get into my streaming platforms. Together, they host the hilarious podcast Ebony and Ivory on Starburns Audio. Get into it. Congregation, please welcome Lady Bunny and Monet Exchange to the show. Hey,
Lacey.
Hey,
how
Lacey.
You doing, girl? Yes, girls. Okay, I'm going to be honest. We've been in the studio for 45 to 50 minutes trying to, like, we at the new studio. We're trying to get everything hooked up, the wires. We plugging in the modem and whatnot. And we did it. And thank
you
guys.
Here's the thing. We were trying to scam you out of your own podcast, but Buddy and I sent a mark. So you think that one of the people working for you? No, baby, that is a symbiote that we sent to pretend like they were helping you to scam me out of your own podcast. So you're welcome.
Wow.
And that 45 minutes of you cursing at us and everybody else.
I ain't
all
cursing
the
you, Lady Bunny. That
we were actually recording that for our own podcast.
Yeah.
So we got 45 minutes. It's going to be like a two-part. Then yours is going to start. But you already scammed us when we're on here, because you said our podcast was Ebony and Ivory. It's irony.
Ebony and Irony? Wait, can I not read or did... Nope, you know what? It's a typo in here. It's Ebony and Irony.
Yes.
Well, wow. I'm being sabotaged. Because mine says ivory, which made sense. Because one of y'all is white and the other one is black. So that makes sense to me. But that's a fun play. Ebony Bunny, and Ivory.
Lady Bunny thinks she black because she done had a whole lot of black dick in the village in her, but she's not.
Excuse me.
Lady Bunny's an ally. She's an ally in the booty.
Excuse me. Do not limit the amount of black dick or any other kind of dick that I got to the village, honey, because I've gotten it all over the world. I'm an international slut. I'm an international slut.
I love that you're like, don't limit it to just the village. You're like, I've had ebony dick in Ghana. I've had ebony dick in Jamaica.
Honey, you know, I used to live in Ghana for 1 year when I was 11 years old, but that was a little too early for me to be getting dick. I did. I lived in Cape Coast in Ghana, West Africa.
Oh, y'all, don't cancel me after this episode because I can just tell these two queens about to be wilding. Okay, I got endorsements to protect. Lord Jesus. All state of mind, good hands. I'm just playing. They dropped me. That used to be my insurance provider. I got in too many accidents. Thank God that didn't happen when I was like relatively famous because they could come after me for my coins. I was like, I'm poor. It was right before the pandemic. That's the best time to get into a four-car pileup.
Was this in L.A.? People in L.A., let me tell you something. I learned how to drive in New Jersey, okay? I'm from New York. I went to college in Jersey. I learned how to drive in Jersey.
So you've never pumped your own gas, Monet?
Yeah, well, now living in L.A. I have, which, let me tell you this, which is honestly just the peasant life. I can't believe I have to pump my own gas. But people in L.A., like, it's like they have not comprehended the art of driving. When it rains, people acting like it's acid outside. They're driving at like 20 miles an hour on the fucking 101. It's
insane
behavior.
Well, it never rains here, Monet. It never rains here. And if you took driver's school like I did, I never took a driver's test, which now I feel like was a scam because I never took a driver's test. They just gave me my license. I came in with my paperwork and the driver instructor was like, you need more practice. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get it. My parents busy. And just went and got my license. But like the first day that it rains is the most dangerous because the roads are slick and it never rains in Southern California. So
Oh my goodness. It
never rains. The girls are driving slow because it may be cold on the East Coast, but over here, we getting in pileups.
Now, Lacey, would you compare your driving skills with your podcast recording skills?
Don't do that, lady. Don't do that, okay? There's many factors at hand, and you will not disrespect my team, okay? Judith and Marina and Kaylin, they work very hard. These are all women of color. Lady Money, that's how you want to go out? Talking about women of color?
I would never disrespect them. I was disrespecting you.
Fair. You can always disrespect me. I will welcome that. But I have to ask you both, and either of you can chime in first if you know, what is your relationship with scams? Like, have you ever been scammed? Do you like scams? Do you hate them? I know I scammed Monet and then subsequently you, Lady Bunny, into being on the show because I met Monet at We Are Here, where Monet gave the most amazing performance and was like, beat the fuck down, looked good as hell. And I was like, can you come on my podcast? Like, can you, wait, I swear wait, it's no. legit.
Wait, Monet looked good? Are you sure that was the season 2 premiere and not one?
Don't do that. Monet was in yellow.
How many seasons did they have?
Looks like a fucking sunflower. And we all know black people are sunflowers.
Thank you. So my relationship to scamming, I have to tell you, so like I said, I'm from New York City, and full tea, like in my early 20s, and let's be honest, late teens, I dated a lot of scamming ass niggas. And you know what? I'm not ashamed to say it. It was a part of my life. I luxuriated in the scamation of it all. I reaped
two
the
new
benefits.
Words. Luxuriated in the scamation. Yes.
I reaped the benefits of said scamming at some points, and sometimes I was scared of the scamming that was taking place. So I don't know about laws and statutes of limitations. I'm not going to say no names, but I definitely was reaping the benefits of dating a scamming dude in the past.
Now, how did you know you were dating a scamming dude? Because I dated some scamming dudes. I dated a dude who had a Magnesis card, which if you don't know what that is, it's
what
the
is that?
Billy McFarland who created the whole Fire Fest thing with Ja Rule. What did you do about my baby?
Oh, not the Fire Festival card.
Yes, who was hoodwinked and led astray, allegedly. But they had a card. He had created a card where he put like magnetism on the back and he made it heavy like a black card and he sold it to millennials and was like, y'all gonna get points back and go get to see Rick Ross up close and like he gonna be like, ugh, and you gonna feel the sweat on your face. Like, it was like that. So I knew he was scamming because of that. How did you know that this dude who allegedly exists or allegedly doesn't, how did you know that he was scamming?
Well, he did not have a job. He never went to work. And he had all the freshest clothes. Like, every time a new pair of Jordans came out, he was copping a new pair of Jordans. And he was always going to... He was... And how... Okay, how we met was on Grindr. Oh, God.
Okay.
I met was on Grindr, and he is like, hey, it was one of those, and any gay man out there, you know this message. So like, hey,
good Christian gays on Grindr.
Do you wanna get $5,000 like in the next hour or so? And then I was like, you know, young me, I was like, sure. And then I did not fall, like, after like 3 or 4 messages back and forth, I did not fall for it. But me and him ended up hooking up, and I knew he was doing this to other people.
So you scammed him. He hit you up and was like, I just received an inheritance. Send me the taxes and fees. And you were like,
exactly,
send
exactly.
me that dick and balls. And then that's the love began.
Exactly. That's when the love began. So, I mean, I never helped with his scamming. I just want to make that very clear. But I knew that he was scamming on the side. And, you know, the dick was good. And, you know, it was great.
Your Honor, I had never knew about his scams.
I just knew what the holy power of his... Right. I just knew what the holy power of his foreskin, honey.
Exhibit A and B. Dick, balls. Exhibit C, abs. Like, you were like, I'm not involved. I love that. You were Bennett. You weren't in it. You were Wes. You weren't in the mess. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. You know.
Yes. Love that. Love that. Lady Buddy, I know that you've had some experience with scams because you just give the energy of someone who has done crime or been adjacent to crime or in the cul-de-sac of crime.
I'll have you know that I am completely legit and on the level.
Okay. But have you
now,
ever experienced?
Now.
Okay. See? Okay.
Yeah, I will tell you about one of my favorite scams that happened. I think it was in the 90s. So I don't know if y'all remember Shirley Murdoch, who sang As We Lay.
I do remember the song, yes.
Okay, so she was a singer. That was probably her biggest hit, but she also
As
recorded
we lay.
With the... Yes. But that was like a solo hit. So there
I'm
was.
I'm too young for that. I don't know that kind of music. I'm too.
Okay,
young.
Well, y'all can talk
it's
about Beyonce.
Cultured. I'm it's called cultured.
You talk about Beyonce. I'll talk about Shirley Murdoch. Anyway, this drag queen started impersonating her. Now, this was before cell phone, FaceTime verification, and whatnot. Mm. This was, and so we started impersonating her, showing up at events and being escorted around by security. And I mean, there are pictures. I mean, he looked like a real, you know, woman. He looked a bit like Shirley, but we couldn't, at that point, you
now,
couldn't
is Shirley
Google.
Black? I'm showing my age.
Yes, she is.
Okay,
yes,
so see, that's the superpower of being black and doing scams because people, you know, that's where you can tap into the power of racism and nobody knows what your face looked like. I had a fake ID of a girl who didn't look nothing like me and I would flare my nostrils and they would just let me into club.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, so I get how this scam works. So this drag queen was impersonating Shirley.
And then she would get free hotel rooms and just show up. And the thing that always, she appeared on a national talk show like Geraldo or one of those back then. And the thing that gagged me is that even at her height, when As We Lay was on the charts, Shirley Murdoch was a brilliant singer, but she was never that big of a deal to where she would be getting free hotel rooms anyway. So this was an A-list scammer because he was able to pretend to be Shirley Murdoch. And then...
Now, you acting like Lady Boney. You acting like Shirley could have been As We Lay in everywhere. Like, she could be everywhere at once. So they were like, it's Tuesday night at the Applebee's and Shirley's here. We
That's
go
right.
see it.
Well, no, I don't think that this drag queen ever performed as Shirley.
She just came in and said, I'm Shirley. And they were like,
well,
okay.
I mean, Shirley's a singer. How are you going to pop out there and lip sync? Oh, I have allergies tonight.
I mean, singers lip sync all the time. Let's not act like the girls haven't gotten lazy. They're not on the treadmill like Beyonce was singing and running. You know,
not Shirley.
They can't do what they used to.
You leave Trixie Mattel out of this, okay? That's not her fault. She doesn't have a lot of talent.
Nah, I know Trixie, and she is a friend of the show. Don't.
That doesn't mean she has talent.
I love Trixie Cosmetics. And shout out to Trixie, because she got a new hairline, and Trixie is bald. And I said, if this ain't a bald man telling bitches how to grow hair, I said, you better go ahead, Trixie. You better go ahead.
That's a scam.
I mean, but it's not, though, because Trixie makeup is good as hell, so she be sending me the products. Look, I stand Trixie. I do.
Well, you just said she was bald and selling hair products.
She is, and she will appreciate that. Leave that in. Don't edit that out, Marina. Did y'all see, just a quick pullover, did y'all go to DragCon?
I went for like a little bit on the first day.
Did you see the messiness on Twitter where Gia Gunn? Yeah, Gia Gunn was telling everybody that nobody had any beauty.
She was like there was zero glamour this year at DragCon.
Girl,
let me tell you something. Gia Gunn is so good at the internet, and she knows how to make people, how to get people up and
get them going, gets the people going.
Oh, she knows how to get people upset. I fucking live for it. It's so much drama. I love it.
It was so fun. I mean, what is DragCon without some drama? You know, what is
you
it?
Know,
without yeah. a tussle. The girls like well, the tussle.
Maybe her lash was so wonky again that she didn't see right.
Y'all not bring me into this. I am Sweden when it comes to the drag queens. I'm Sweden.
No, if she wanted to see some beauty, she should have spent more time outside Monet's booth.
I wasn't there. Well, I didn't have a booth.
Monet does give beauty, though. Monet gives
Thank
beauty.
Y'all.
Always. But also, Gia gives beauty, too. So I was like, you know what, Gia, you go ahead and you let the girls know that you give beauty, and you were the only one, apparently, according to you. And I love that for you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Y'all, let's get into it. Our first segment is called What's Hot in Fraud. This is where we warn our listeners about popping scams in the zeitgeist. And as always, guys, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Just make sure your scam is retired, because we don't want to what? Yes, fuck up your bag. Amen. So, Lady Bunny Monet, I need a fake name for this person. We do not care about gender on this show, so run it up.
Kelsey.
Kelsey. Oh, I haven't had a Kelsey.
Kelsey.
Love a Kelsey. Bring Kelsey back. I feel like people aren't naming their kids Kelsey anymore. I know Karen's going to definitely be on the downfall. But Karen and Linda were never names for children. Like, Karen and Linda are grown women who work in HR. They're not children names. I don't know what they call you as a kid when they name you Karen. KK? They can't call you Karen, you know?
Yeah, that's
like
true.
If your name is Walter as a baby. We're not calling you Walter. That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
And you're 1 year old. You
it
Walter.
Makes you feel bad things inside. Yeah, or maybe like you know them babies that are born and they look like old ladies as babies. So those are all Karens.
They are. They're all Karens and Cheryls
and Agathas and Martha.
I'm gonna bring it back. My grandmama named Mildred.
Oh my goodness, Mildred. That is an old black lady name. It sure
is. Back and we'll call the baby Millie, you know,
Millie.
And then she'll be Mildred when she get grown and she get a W-2. As soon as she saw her first W-2, she'll be Mildred.
Yeah.
But okay, so Kelsey says, back in the early 2000s, a well-known nationwide bus company, I wish you would have stitched on what the name of the bus company is. You don't work for them.
Right.
But they sold unlimited travel passes that would let you ride the bus anywhere in the USA from one city to another for 2, 3, or 4 weeks, depending on the pass that you bought. The longer a travel period, the more expensive the pass. A friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. Kelsey.
Girl. I'm about to say, bitch, this is not your friend. Why do you even care now? She just spilled all the tea. She don't know these people.
This sounded like lies. Not you giving me 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon of the friend. This is too far away. I don't know if this is a friend, sis. I feel like a friend of a friend, maybe, but a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend, you don't know that. Honestly, I'm friend of a friend of a friend of a friend of Beyonce. I could probably make that work. Like, that's too many friends.
Yeah.
So this friend of a friend of a friend of a friend must have bought an actual pass at some point, but somehow got through someone I knew, and I got a hold of a scanned copy of an original pass. Now, I just want to pause here. Have y'all ever taken a bus? Like, okay, there's city buses, you know, that's like you're going stop to stop. But have you ever taken a bus from a state to another state?
Oh, no. Like those Bolt buses and stuff. No, I've never done that.
Mm-mm, oh, many mm-mm. times.
I don't trust that. Really?
Honey, I'm from Chattanooga. They don't exactly have Northeast Amtrak plush stations.
Yeah, y'all hoes just got running water and fucking electricity like last week.
Listen, the Amtrak is not giving. I had to take an Amtrak because my best friend JoJo had a remote birthday party upstate New York. And I was like, I'm going to get the first class car. That'll be cute. And I should have remembered Sex in the City.
No, even the first class cars, yes, it's not the fantasy. Mm-mm.
It was was so dirty, and I was just sitting there like a hostage, like, oh, I don't want to touch anything.
And you know, people do TikToks about it. They're like, I'm taking. They do like these time lapse TikToks of them taking the first class Amtrak, whatever, and it looks so dirty. They gotta like you gotta like pee, like the toilet is like underneath the bed. Under it's No.
I don't want to shower with toilet water. That's not fair.
Oh my God, I literally.
Why not? Why not, Lacey?
I am a descendant of slaves. I should never have to shower with toilet water. It's ridiculous that I have to pay taxes. I should get 10 years off. Y'all not going to give me 40 acres and a mule. At least give me 10 years off of Uncle Sam fucking putting his ski mask on and being like, run it up, you know?
We don't want to talk about scams. The fucking U.S. government is the biggest scam out there. Ooh, anyway.
Truly. No, look, America is a whole scam, and I say it all the time, okay? That's how we exist off of robbery and fraud. Hello. We will sell you a dream. That's why we got the white picket fence, the biggest scam of all. Like, yeah, come over here, you can get a white picket fence. Actually, you go get an apartment with a mean landlord, and it's going to be too expensive, and he ain't never gonna fix that asbestos, you know. You better stay up at night and watch some mesothelioma commercials because you're gonna need it. But I have taken buses. I used to take when I was in college, I was in Pennsylvania, and we would go to New York City, and we would go to Canada and other places. We would take the Megabus. And at that time, the Megabus was cute. It was really clean. It was like, they had Wi-Fi. They had little tables you could do your homework on and stuff. And then the regular girls found out about the Megabus, and then it went downhill.
Yeah, the Megabus and the Bolt Bus and all those buses are, I never took any of those.
I did back in the day, and they were cute. Mm. And then they
went. It was $1. $1 to get from here, New York City,
to Boston.
If you
booked early, yes. And then they started upping it a little bit. They were like, $1. Okay, now it's $24. Okay, now it's $56. Okay, now it's $107. It was like, what's going on?
Well, honey, that's the same thing that's going on with Uber and the surge prices and every other kind of price. They're going up.
That was because Uber was a scam. They literally subverted the cab market and were like, if we get a bunch of venture capitalists to invest in Uber, then we can operate basically making no profit, subvert the market, ruin the cab industry, and then jack up the prices because we all you got. That's what happened with Uber. And I loved it and I hated it because I lived in New York City. And Monet, you said you lived in New York City. I've been clipped by so many cabs. I've been hit by so many cabs that I was like,
and why didn't you sue?
Because they was driving off too fast. I couldn't get the license plate.
Girl, there is a surveillance camera on every corner of New York City. Girl, you could own the city of LA right now, okay? You could own the Los Angeles County.
Damn, how long to keep them traffic cameras up? Maybe I could retroactively sue because they owe me money.
I've had two friends that have sued that got hit by cars and sued the state of New York, and each of them are, and both of them were just under $1 million they got in the settlement.
Black people, if the cabs hit you in New York, y'all gotta sue. Get your camera phone out.
Girl, stay right on that ground. Stay on that floor. Do not move, girl, until you are on a stretcher.
I was just down bad. I didn't even know. I didn't even know I could have sued. Wowzers.
Oh, yeah, girl.
Yeah. Wowzers. So we're talking about a scam that's being done to the bus company, right? So this person said a friend got the actual pass that lasted all year long, and then somehow they got a scan of the pass, like a copy. So compared to a city-to-city ticket from the same company, the unlimited travel pass was extremely easy to forge. It was basically just a black and white piece of double-sided thick paper, which was really easy to Photoshop on any computer, print out on Kinko's, and glue together. I know that's right. If you're going to be a scammer, you got to be adept in Photoshop.
Uh-huh.
You got to know about InDesign, the InDesign girlies. Shout out to y'all. You got to be able to fabricate things online. All you had to do was flash your forged pass to the bus driver and voila, a free ride anywhere in the country. I have never actually seen one genuine pass in real life. Damn, so all your friends were scamming. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Punk friends and I forged many passes over the years, which allowed us to travel around the country. I'm assuming you're saying punk like y'all was doing like punk rock, like y'all was like Courtney Love or something. But okay. One year I went to New Orleans. I went from New Orleans to New York City, and on another trip from Detroit to Los Angeles via the Grand Canyon and Las Vegas, all for free. Long distance bus is not the most glamorous way to travel. No, it is not. Like, even you saying that you went all these distances, I'm like, yo, booty not numb?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's cute and all, but when you forget to get to New York City for touring to New Orleans, bitch, that's like a 2 or 3 day trip. So by the time you take off from your job, no, that sounds not. No,
right? They were like, I went from Austin to Toronto. That don't sound good. I don't want to ride from Austin to Toronto. I need to be in the air,
girl. But although some people love that shit, though, people love like seeing the trees. I'm not that girl. I want to get on a plane and be there in less than an hour.
I can Google a tree.
I don't think it's that they. I don't think it's that they love it. It's just that some of them hate flying, and you know, my dad has not refused
driving
to fly
is more
for
dangerous
years.
Statistically than flying.
Hello, no,
but that's not. It's not talking about danger. I'm talking about do they like it?
Oh yeah, and I don't like flying.
I like flying.
So a lot of people just, as we've seen throughout the pandemic, a lot of people just do what they want.
That's true. But I do not like flying. And every time I see a plane crash, even though they're super rare, it just scares me so much. Every time I get on a plane and that bitch just like wheels up and, you know, they're like fasten seatbelt, I surrender myself to God. Like every single time I'm like, well, if I die, I die. Like I have no control now. We into the bird in the air. I don't know how this works.
But yet, every time you get in your car and fasten your seatbelt, you don't think the same thing?
No, which is crazy because I'm a terrible driver. I should really be afraid every time I turn on my engine because I am a horrible commuter. I should not have a license. I'm a menace to society. My friend just got a baby in this bitch sticker on the back of her car. It just says baby in this bitch, and she just had a baby. And I was like, where you get that? Because I want that so people be more sympathetic to my terrible driving and I can be in the HOV lane. So Liz, like, hooked me up.
Scammer. Scammer.
Gotta be. I low-key was about to get one of them thin blue line stickers and put it on my car. Do I support the police? Hell no. But if I got a thin blue line sticker, maybe they won't pull my ass over for expired tags. Maybe if I'm just like, I love white supremacy, then the cops will leave me alone.
Like, blue lives matter, please.
Right. Listen, you know how many cops I've cried in front of to get out of tickets and also probably out of murder? A lot.
Does it work?
Yes. I've been pulled over several times for doing wild shit, usually in the middle of the night, which is what I call horse and buggy hours, because like I don't have to listen to the traffic stop. It's 2 a.m. Like, ain't nobody out here. I'm going to make a right-hand turn from the left-hand lane. Bitch. This is a little house on the prairie. Like, ain't nobody out here.
Buggy hours. I'm so done with you. I'm fucking done.
I'm serious. But then I get pulled over. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm a woman and I'm black. You know, we not as good as y'all at thinking. I don't want anybody to ever record me getting pulled over at a traffic stop because they'll be like, you are an embarrassment to the race. To the race, to the culture, to the queers. Like, I'll do it all.
I live.
So Kelsey says she's done all this long distance tripping and, you know, it's not glamorous, but she's like, it's free and it saved us thousands of dollars in airfare or bus fares. It was such a good scam and the bus would have been traveling that route anyway, likely with empty seats. So I don't really feel guilty about how much we ripped off the bus company, as you should.
Yeah, I agree. Don't feel bad. They're fine. Listen, there's no way that a corporation becomes a $1 billion corporation or a multi-million-dollar corporation by being completely ethical. I fully believe that. So
you have to kill people. If you're going to be a billionaire, people have to die under your watch. It's just a part of it.
I agree. So you know what? So you can scam them a little bit. They'll be just fine.
They'll be high. They will. Honestly, that's reparations. We talk about that a lot on this show. It's like, look, capitalism is a scam, so get yours, you know?
Yeah.
Put your oxygen mask on first.
But get yours is also the message of capitalism.
Yeah, but...
When you're
under the foot of the boot, get yours is not the same as when you are the boot.
Right.
Because that's just self-control. Like, you're hoarding wealth, you're hoarding resources, and you just don't care. We're just trying to be alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. So, guys, we're going to take a quick break for some non-scam advertisements. We'll be right back with my favorite part of the show, Historic Hoodwinks. Scams!
If you're a person with titties, bras are so uncomfortable and constricting. And now we finally, like, have something that's changing, that Skims is changing, that Skims bras, they're worth the hype. They're amazing, the shape, the support that they give, but also they're, like I said, comfortable with you on your nipple. Okay. I love the Fits Everybody bra in Onyx, which is like the black one. Like that's normally like the clothes that I'm wearing and stuff. But like, I also really love the wireless form push-up plunge bra because, you know, you sometimes you gotta give a little cleave, a little titty, okay? You know what I mean? Make it cute. So shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes, 30A to 46H. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $75. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Hi, I'm John Lovett, host of Love It or Leave It. Every week, I'm joined live on stage by incredible guests to break down the biggest and dumbest stories in politics and pop culture. And now, because there's too much news for just one show, join me and my friends, also known as beloved producers who have to be there, every Tuesday for a rundown of the latest headlines to help get you through another flawless week in our perfect society. Listen to episodes of Love It or Leave It wherever you get your podcasts or catch the funniest moments on the Love It or Leave It YouTube channel.
And we are back, and it's time for Historic Hoodwinks. This is where I will regale Monet Exchange and Lady Bunny with a famous con caper group of criminals. We'll see, and we'll get their opinions all throughout. So we are going to put a content warning at the top of this. We're going to lightly explore some mental health issues in this episode, but as always, guys, a lot of us have mental health issues, and I'm so happy to live in a time where it's less shameful. I mean, it's still, there's still stigma attached, but it's way less shameful than, you know, in the 80s if you saw a therapist and they'd be like, why are you doing that? You are crazy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like we all talk to somebody and it's all normal and okay for the most part. So we're talking about the turn of the 20th century. New Zealand was taken by storm by a chronic criminal who committed crimes seemingly for their own sake. She was notoriously clever and even convinced a woman to marry her, all while disguised as a wealthy sheep farmer. Amy Bach may have pleaded insanity, but she still went on to have a very extensive career. Okay, Amy.
Okay, Miss Amy.
So you went from mental health awareness to, no, I'm a crazy. Is that going to get me out of jail?
She tried to pull a Lacey.
Why is it a Lacey? No.
Because you're like, keep me out. I promise I ain't do nothing good enough.
Right. Put me in a little padding room.
Okay. I think I may need some mental help, but how did we get from mental health to the sheep herder criminal?
Now, see, look.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what old McDonald is up to. I don't know if she had a farm. I don't know the EIs, and I do not know the EIOs, okay?
We're on this ride together. Yes,
I don't.
You do.
I swear to God, everybody knows on this podcast, I will submit research to my researcher, Kaylin, and things that I think are cool, and then I don't read the research full out because I like to be on the ride with all of you.
No, I'm teasing you.
It's a social relationship.
I'm teasing you. Monet got it. I just got lost. So I'm saying I need.
Well,
I'm gonna
get you unlost. I'm gonna hit you with the Waze, okay?
Okay.
Which we know Waze is a little treacherous, okay? It's not gonna be Google Maps. It's not gonna be Apple Maps. It's gonna be Waze. So Amy Maud Bach was born May 18th, 1859. Does that make her a Gemini? I feel like that's Gemini.
May 18th. No, Gemini is after the 20th, right? Isn't it?
So it's a Taurus. That's a Taurus. Taurus. Okay. Yeah. Tauruses are very caring. They're very responsible and stoic. I feel like that makes a good scammer. Geminis are also great scammers. I love a Gemini woman scammer and a Sagittarius woman scammer. So.
Oh.
Because the Sag women are wild. So
are they?
Yes. Yes.
Are you a Sag?
I am not. I am a Cancer.
Oh, you're a Cancer. You're a water sign. You're emotional.
Don't do that, okay? Now, listen, if we really know each other, then yes, it's get in, bitch, let's go crying, okay? I love a good cry. But if you don't know me, I'm an Aries moon, and that's what you're going to get,
you know?
I'm a Gemini rising, so I definitely have a little scam in me.
I'm a Libra rising. That makes sense why we work so well together and how I got you here, Monet. Yes.
And Lady Bunny's just the devil. She's a little Lisa.
No. I'll tell you this. My sister is a Taurus born in...
Now, why are you starting with your sister like she on this podcast? What are you?
I'm trying to make a... I'm a Leo, but I'm trying to make a connection because my sister is a Taurus, also born in 1959. I'm just trying to get into the podcast.
Okay,
subject,
I said 1859.
Well, she's my twin sister. She was born in 1859.
How y'all twins and you a Leo and she a Gemini? What's going on?
Well, I'm busted. Okay.
We all being scammed by Lady Bunny right now, and I love that for us. So... She was born in Hobart, Tasmania. Amy Maude Bach's father was an artist and a photographer, and her mother died in psychiatric hospital when Amy was 13. So 1859 is when they would put women in psychiatric hospitals if they, like, talked too much or if they, like, had too many opinions. They'd be like, give that woman a lobotomy. So who knows if the mother needed to even be in a psychiatric hospital because it was a bad time. It's still a bad time now, but at least they're not locking us up for having thoughts. Well, they still are, but not as much. So growing up, Amy's scam career started small and fairly innocent. She would purchase large quantities of items such as books under her father's name and give them away to random people. She also told elaborate and wild stories. Yes, we love a liar. So despite that, Amy had a relatively normal and well-educated upbringing and as an adult found an employment as a teacher in Gippsland, a rural region of Victoria, Australia. And Australia is the criminal capital of the world because that's where they were sending all the criminals.
Yo, right? But let me tell you something. The criminal capital of the world with big-ass dicks. Let me tell you something, okay? I went to Australia. What? And the amount of dick they are slinging out in Australia, so, girl.
I need to go to the Outback. I need to get some dick on the Barbie.
Yeah, there are some white men with some big old dicks in Australia. It's crazy. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the amount of dick down in Australia. Because I've toured there at least like 6 or 7 times now, and every time I am gobsmacked by what I witness.
Not gobsmacked, not down under. Not the down under, having the down under.
No, literally gobsmacked. Like, oh, slap it across.
Okay, so the Joeys be Joeying. Okay, all right. Love to hear it. Want to see it. So, so she started small, right? And she was telling these lies and stuff. Despite that, Amy had a relatively normal, well-educated upbringing. She found employment. She, you know, was living her life. She first ran into a spot of trouble when she received a summons for acquiring goods on false credit. Now, this is like, she was born in 1859.
Mm-hmm.
So these are like the early 1900s when she's approaching adulthood. We don't have no credit was invented in the 80s, you know? Like, there's no real way to tell what's going on.
Yeah.
So she must have been doing enough fraud that they were like, wait a minute, because I feel like you could do a decent amount of fraud without getting caught in this time.
Yeah, but at this time, it probably wasn't, they were like, oh, but like what, 100 people in town. So if you the person that always come back, they were like, something is afoot here. You know what I mean?
Right. I have a feeling that Amy Bach might have been a bad bitch too, because like, it's like, people remember your face, Amy. What's going on?
Yeah, you know?
So many of the goods that she purchased were unusual. One time she famously bought a number of coffins from all the undertakers in town and then sent them to one family. However, despite being caught, the judge discharged Amy with a conviction. So I don't know why she was... Look, these are the 1800s. The whole reason we have birthdays is because all the babies used to be dying. So, and it was like, let's celebrate. Yeah, it was like, let's celebrate your baby didn't die. Like, we've been in a formula shortage and people have been like, oh, I don't understand why that's a big deal. Like, there's breast milk and da da da. I'm like, do you realize that before we had formula, the babies just died? Like, they just died. So, I mean, coffins are expensive. If you want to run me some discount coffins, that might be the move. I'd be like, thank you so much. Then be like $4,000, $8,000 a pop, okay?
Well, you know you can buy coffins at Costco.
That's true. We should all stop.
You can buy coffins at Costco. Uh-huh.
Because, like, look, we could put some mesh on your coffin. We could put some, like, cute stuff on it to make it better. Like, you don't need a nice coffin. Pine is fine. Pine is fine.
But so this, fine. I mean, this scammer would buy other people stuff?
I don't know why she's doing this. I can't tell you what that scam is. So when she was caught, they didn't convict her, which means she probably was a bad bitch.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
During that time, many people knew of her mother's death in a psychiatric hospital. Because there was still so much stigma about any forms of mental illness in the 19th century, unfortunately, Amy was unable to escape her mother's reputation. So they said, because we sent your mama to the psychiatric hospital, probably because she was mouthing off too much, talking about she wanted rights. Now you are also, damaged by that.
Mm-hmm.
According to the local newspaper, quote, much sympathy has been felt for Miss Bach as her mistake is believed to have been caused by more hereditary misfortune than criminal intent. So, Amy, not you using your mama and being like, well, y'all know my mama in a loony bin, so that's why I was scamming. That's why I did the robbery. It's hereditary. It's in my DNA. I'm supposed to steal. That's how I was born. Love that for her. Shortly after, Amy's father asked her to move to Auckland, New Zealand with him and his second wife. Not you getting remarried all fast. And he was the one who put her in the loony bin. Girl, fight your father. A fisticuffs.
Right? Oh, that is shady. Yo, dudes have always been trifling. Men have been trifling since the beginning of time. This is so shady.
And why are we not blaming them more? Like, literally, all the wars were caused by men. Why are we not blaming them?
Girl.
Lock them up. Lock all the cis straight men up until we can figure out what's going on.
Oh, wait, all the cis straight men and Lady Bunny. She should be locked up as well. Institutionalized, actually.
What makes you think that I'm not cis het? I guess you have never met my wife.
You want me to send that back to you, Lady Bunny? What makes you think that I'm not cis het? Honestly, that just sounded like poppers to me. I don't know what you thought I heard, but that's what I heard. So in Auckland, Amy worked as a governess, but within a few weeks had defrauded her employer. She appeared in tears in front of a judge, confessing to it all, and was subsequently let off. So a governess was basically like a nanny, but for like an older girl back in the day, and like they kept you from fucking.
I remember. Oh, no. I mean, yeah. Oh, thank you for telling me what that is.
I'm just saying for the people who are listening, Lady Bunny, it ain't just us. Y'all watch the Gilded Age. Y'all know what a governess is. I love that the Gilded Age is basically Downton Abbey. They were like, we're going to do it just as boring, but American.
Yeah, like, I was like, I can't watch it. That shit is too boring.
I love boring shit. They're like, this whole episode is about how we can't get the spoons polished for the dinner. Like, that's the whole episode. Love it.
No, ma'am.
I'm into it. It's so petty and so small, and I need it. So she appeared in tears in front of the judge. She was like, I'm so sorry. I did it all, but remember my mama crazy? Y'all remember my mama crazy? That's why I did it. This became the start to a pattern of behavior across Amy's career. She'd find employment and charm her employees with her diligence and charm. But then, a couple weeks later, she would use devious means to obtain small amounts of money. She'd either pawn her employees' property or created elaborate fictions to convince people to give her money. You better,
yes,
Amy.
Dude.
You better. Honestly, you probably got this shit from your dad, because your dad threw you into threw your mama into jail for women, and he's probably the scammer here, and I feel like that's where you got this from. When she got cash, she disappeared for a few more weeks and then show up in court weeping and take advantage of her previous reputation and blamed her hereditary mental illness for her crimes. Yes, I know Amy was cute.
She must have been.
We got an image of her mugshot, so I hope that she's cute. So the judge would hand out a sentence, rinse and repeat. In 1887, Amy was sentenced, and we got a mugshot, to 6 months at Caversham Industrial School, an institution designed to train children whose parents could not care for them. It's unknown why she was sentenced here as an adult. Oh, wait, get that picture up again. We need to see what Amy's giving.
Okay.
That's a man. That's a man. That's a man.
Girl.
Oh, no. I feel like she got BDE. I feel like she got energy.
I thought you said she was pretty.
I feel like she got energy.
You think she's got BDE energy?
I do. I have met some women who could take me down who look just like Amy because they got that energy. I'm just like, yes. I don't know.
Girl.
I'm with you.
Amy needs...
I don't know. Look how she posed, too. This is a prison pose.
Yeah,
this is a prison pose.
Amy's posting up. Amy's not for me.
Hey, listen, Amy ain't got no lips.
Girl.
Wait, I think I'm related to her.
You might be, lady, but you might be related to Amy.
I see her in the nose.
Amy looked like she got a binder on. Amy, what kind of energy are you on? Amy, are you for the girls? Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Amy does look like she is doing a little waist training. I see her. Amy been she sipping snatched. Her flat tummy tea. Uh-huh. Get it, Amy.
Waist training? She's hungry.
Listen, that was back in the day where if you were thin, it meant you were broke. And if you were fat, it meant you were rich.
Oh, I remember. I mean, no, really? Oh.
Because you couldn't afford food. So the richest people would be, like, well-fed. And the poorest people would be gangly.
Okay.
She look good, though. I don't know. I'm attracted. I'm just something. She's doing something to me. I don't like. Turn this off. Turn this off before I go find Amy Grave.
Lacey, you are not that desperate to where you are fantasizing about some farmer woman.
I'm a black woman in L.A., okay? Desperation is high, okay? And I'm successful. The pickings are slim, okay?
What?
We might have to be the one.
What? Lacey, her?
I don't know.
You are
I like
that
it.
Desperate.
I like it. I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. The energy. Thank you for turning that off, Marina, because I was getting a little hot. I was like, wait a minute. Where's she at? Australia? Where they bear at? The down under? What's going on down there?
I mean, is she Australia? She probably got a big ass dick, I'm telling you.
And I want to know. And I want to know, okay? For the next 8 years, Amy was in and out of courts and prisons for a series of fraud and larceny charges while also working as a music teacher at times. Okay.
What?
You better be doing do-re-mi between jail, prison, see?
Wow.
Yes. I love this. During this period, she also lived with members of the Salvation Army and convinced them to lend her funds to buy and furnish a 6-room house in Oamaru. Wow. In the press, Amy grew popular because she was a wholesome criminal. She never drank, committed violent crimes, or engaged in prostitution.
I like how that's the thing. They're like, above all, she never was a whore.
And I don't like that because I feel like these other two are wholesome. Like, if you can drink as long as you know you can do it in moderation or whatever.
Yeah.
You commit violent crimes. We not about that. But prostitution, I'm sorry. Y'all telling us we can be a hoe for free, but when I'm like put a little money on the dresser before you go, then it's a crime? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Hoe is life and sex work is work. We don't play those
absolutely.
Games.
Absolutely. Agreed.
So despite this, Amy eventually landed herself at the Magdalene Asylum for Fallen Women near Christchurch in 1895 and fell out of the public eye. Quick background on Magdalene Asylums, also known as Magdalene Laundries. The term implied female sexual promiscuity or work in prostitution. Young women who became pregnant outside of marriage or young girls and teenagers who did not have familial support would go to this place. They were required to work as a part of their board, and the institution operated large commercial laundries serving customers outside of their bays, and it was often considered abusive indentured servitude. And we've talked about these laundry centers before. They were like, oh, you a hoe? Did you like to fuck? Now you gotta wash clothes for the rest of your life.
I'm thinking about that scene in Ever After with Drew Barrymore and Angelica Houston when they send them to work at one of these at the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what we're talking about?
Yes,
I don't know that this was like, you talked about this before. This happens often that they make, if you're seen as a whore, they send you to be a laundry person.
Yes. And people love to act like if you get pregnant, we don't know who participated in that, as if there's not a man involved. Why you not busting suds next to me? This should be a Tide commercial.
I agree.
All the hoes got the cleanest laundry. Gain. Did you have a baby out of wedlock? Gain. This is disrespectful.
Wow.
So damn. Eventually, Amy's own cleverness caught up to her. One reporter even said, a quote, "The outstanding fact in New Zealand, perhaps in Australia, this woman stands supreme in her cleverness over other female criminals." So one thing that men really don't like is when they meet a woman who outsmarts them, because they're like, women don't have brains. They have pussies for us to make sex with. And
do laundry with.
Right, and do our laundry. And so if you outsmart a man, they are very upset about it. Anytime a complex scam popped up, police would automatically assume Amy is one of the ones clever enough to pull it off. Amy had come up with a new plan. So in 1907, she discovered when you're the most wanted female in criminal history, you stop being female. Oh my God, she's trans.
Oh.
We won.
Whoa.
I told this you she was turn. Giving that energy.
I didn't see this coming. I did not see this coming.
So now 48 years old, Amy turned up at a boarding house called Albion House, right at the tip of the coast of Nugget Point in South Otago. I don't know where any of these places are. I'm assuming they're in Australia. She posed as a wealthy sheep farmer. This is where the sheep come in, Lady Bunny.
Okay, I'm going back with you now.
Just waiting on the sheep.
Yeah.
So Percival Leonard Carol Redwood, that's too many names. That's too many names. She gave herself four names. We know you're doing crime. Too many names. Befriending many in the area and cultivating a reputation for being generous and from a good family. So this is the farm. This farm looks cute. It's a little mountain in the back. It's some water on the...
Yeah, okay. It looks very peaceful. It's very serene.
I would never assume anyone was scamming there.
I like this for him. Yeah, I like this for him.
I feel, yes. So now it's all like this for him. So Amy then leaned on the reputation that they had built as Percy to obtain loans from good people of Nugget Point. And obviously this is like Cheers. Everybody knows your name. Like, they're not thinking that there's a scammer here. Percy soon became so popular at Albion House that its owners started considering Percy as a good fit to marry their 30-year-old daughter, Agnes Ottaway. Now, this is the olden times. So at 30 years old, they was ready to throw your ass in the ocean if you weren't married.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, you're a wench.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, thank God. God bless all women. God, if I had come into this world as a woman and lived back then, I would have been beheaded. I would have been under the... Girl, I would be gone. I would have
been
done.
Like, a witch.
Girl, down.
It was wild that they used to just call people witches and burn them, and everybody just agreed in the town. Like, yeah, this sounds fine.
Yeah, and like, imagine if the person was a witch and then they did not die. You have just upset a fucking witch, and she's about to destroy all of y'all. Game over.
Right.
Bitch.
What they would do is throw the alleged witches into water, and because they thought witches would float. So when they actually did drown, they knew that they weren't witches, but you had to drown to prove
dead.
It. Right.
Honestly, I feel like witches were just any woman who was smart. They were like, how do you know things?
Mm-hmm.
Burn her at the stake.
Yeah. Like, ooh, steak.
This bitch knows arithmetic. I saw her with an abacus. Witch.
Well, or also the witch trials in Salem were attached to puritanical religion of mm-hmm. the Puritans.
They used to burn all the bad bitches. If you was a city girl in the 1800s, it was over for you. Cardi B would be dead. Like, they definitely would have burned Cardi at the stake. She would have been up there like, ew, and they would have been lighting her up. No. No. I hate it for us. So within weeks of Percy arriving at Nugget Point, they got engaged to this 30-year-old, you know, forsaken woman who could not find love. Because, you know, they was trying to marry the girls off at 12. So 30, they're like, all right, well, you're going to die soon. Like, our life expectancy is very short. So,
girl, everybody only made it to the Jesus year. After 33, you were done.
Right.
Curtains.
Right, that was it. Your Jesus year. You throw it up and then you gone. Like, what? So and people used to die of, like, bullshit. Honestly, so embarrassing. You died of chicken pox? Wow. Very ghetto. I'm glad I was born now and I didn't have to die of nothing, like, you know, what, percussus or what, consumption? Consumption was just like, we don't know what you got, but you got a fever and you dying. So
really? I didn't even heard of consumption.
Yeah, that was like a broad term for like people who were sick.
Lacey, you're so knowledgeable on so many things. I know nothing. You need to be like my teacher in life. You know everything.
Listen, it's all about confidence, Monet. I might be lying. sometimes like, the girls be tagging me on Twitter like, this is not true. And I'll be like, okay, what do you want? I'm not a journalist. I told you that. I said that up front. I'm not a journalist. So what do you want from me? So regardless, they had a large, extravagant wedding down to the 5-diamond wedding ring that Percy gave Agnes. In part, stirring up such great enthusiasm and chatter around the wedding helped quiet the murmurings from the number of people that Percy had yet to pay back. So they see this big-ass wedding. They're like, well, Percy hasn't paid us back on our loans, but Percy got money for this wedding, so Percy obviously has coin. So we'll wait it out. We'll see.
Wow.
Percy claimed that his wealthy family would arrive the day of the wedding and pay the outstanding debts. However, come the day of the wedding, no one showed, obviously. And Percy said it was because another family wedding was planned the same day. Now we got a picture of the family wedding. Let's zoom in on that. Okay, they got good cameras. Percy is giving the drip. So come the day of the wedding, obviously no one showed. And he's like, oh, you know, it actually was another nuptial on the same day. They had multiple nuptials. So that's why my family couldn't come. Despite this, no one called Percy's bluff. And Percy and Agnes were legally married. Tension heightened over the next few days and tales of, okay, so now we can see the wedding photos.
Uh-huh.
It's giving. Everybody had on their best. Like the seamstress really pulled up. They made... The textiles are popping.
So what? Yeah, this is reminding me of the competitors on Drag Race All Stars season 7.
Oh my God,
Dusty.
Oh my God, not the shade, Lady Bunny. Oh my goodness, I'm in a forest. All the shade. I mean, look, for the time, I think that was. Oh my gosh, is this Percy?
Look at Percy. Percy looks so handsome.
See, I knew Percy was fine.
No, that looks. You said the last one was fine.
This is Amy.
This is Amy as Percy.
Amy is Percy. Yeah,
looks
see,
like, it looks like Paul McCartney.
I see Paul McCartney. Yeah, I see Paul McCartney.
He looks like Paul McCartney.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know him, designer Stella McCartney's dad?
I used to be Paul McCartney's personal server in the Hamptons at a seasonal restaurant, and he would call and ask for me because I knew all his family's allergies and shit, and that his wife loved eggplant. And at the end of the season, he's like, "Lacey, you know, you're gonna rise amongst the servers." And I was like, "Paul, I don't want to be no damn server." Shout out to the servers because I did it for a long time. And if you want to do it as a career, you absolutely can and make bank if you work at the right places. That's no shade, but Paul was great. And this it is giving Paul McCartney. It's giving Abbey Road.
For sure.
Percy, I would let Percy take me down. Percy got them eyes that just say, open your legs. And you'd be like, okay, I acquiesce. Okay, Percy.
I thought Monet was desperate. Oh, my God.
Why y'all calling me desperate? Oh, my God. It's hard out here. I'm a black woman in America.
Lacey, do not even listen. Lady Bunny is, ask Lady Bunny where her man is at. Where's your man, Lady Bunny?
Honey.
Lady Bunny, answer the question.
Okay, I'm going to answer the question. I like pussy now.
Pussy or bussy? It's pussy. A difference. Okay, pussy. With a P, not a B. Okay. Yeah. Okay, with it. Listen, this is plenty of, it's plenty of opportunity out here. Equal opportunity. So, Percy, I love Percy so much.
Pussy. I like pussy.
Not
pussy. Oh, sorry. I'm trying to keep up.
So, tensions heightened over the next few days, and tales of Percy's exploits reached Detective Henry Hunt, a hater. Anybody who's detectivizing, like, mind your business, okay? Mind your business, detective. So, Detective Hunt had a hunch that he confirmed when he showed up at Nugget Point and with a picture of Amy, and people recognized Percy Redwood. So, he showed up with a picture of Amy before his transition into Percy, and he was like, mm-hmm. Do y'all know this person? And they were like, oh, yeah, that looked just like Percy. 4 days after the wedding, Detective Hunt drove out to Albion House, and Amy was arrested at the Ottaway household. Amy is Percy. Mm-hmm. She was convicted. Now we're going back to female pronouns, but I'm just going to keep it on his because I feel like that's what Percy wanted. He was convicted at the Dundee Supreme Court and finally named a habitual criminal. See, Percy, you fucked up because when you were Amy, you had the sympathy of sexism. And then when you came Percy, they were like, all right, well, let's take this nigga down. So in their later years, Percy moved to Maucow, where he was said to have and organized many entertainments and plays and was the life of the district. Listen, Percy is giving good Christian gay. Percy is giving vibes. Percy is giving a good party, probably some good sex, and I want to know Percy. So Percy, Percy remarried but divorced again because of his debts. Amy Bach, Percy, died at Bombay, south of Auckland, 12 years later on August 29th, 1943, at the age of 84. 84 wow. In this time period?
Yeah, that's a lot old.
No, not Percy, Amy.
You know Percy didn't have no good health care. Percy got high off life. Percy wasn't drinking. Percy wasn't violent. Percy wasn't doing drugs. But Percy was just high on lies and scams. And I love that for them. Percy, I love you. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back for the end of the show. The saddest part where I have to let Lady Bunny and Monique exchange go. Robbery!
Louis Scarcella was the greatest homicide detective of his generation.
I am the protector of these people. I am the guardian that they need.
Derek Hamilton was the best jailhouse lawyer of his.
And the lawyer was my girlfriend. It was all I had.
What happens when a group of convicted felons take on the cop who put them away?
We gotta attack Scarcella.
Come and get me.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden starting March 19th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and it's time for Scammer of the Week. There may be an update on this, guys, but at the time of recording, this is what we got for y'all. Investment-making company Goldman Sachs and media company Aussie have had a falling out since it was discovered that someone was impersonating an executive during a conference call between Goldman Sachs and YouTube. Quick note, Aussie. Aussie is a media company that writes newsletters, blog posts, produces festivals, and runs large YouTube channels. The past winter, Goldman Sachs was closed to invest $40 million in Aussie, a company with a charismatic CEO, Carlos Watson. That sounds like a good name. I don't know if I would give Carlos my money, but I would go to his party.
I've seen him.
Oh, Carlos.
I don't know Carlos.
Carlos got a good smile, though. That's a Colgate smile.
That smile looks phony as hell. No one should be smiling that fucking hard, okay?
Listen, he's smiling too hard. He got veneers for sure, but it's giving. I'm twirling my hair. Maybe I am thirsty. I'm twirling my hair.
Look at how fake this smile. And every picture, he is smiling like the fucking Grinch, okay? From ear to ear. This is not right.
Carlos is giving, normal. I have a white wife and all white friends. I feel like if you have all white friends and a white wife, then Carlos can really make it in the world. Like, I feel like he's scamming real good.
He looks handsome.
See, Lady Bunny thinks he looks handsome.
Of course you do, because she...
Lady Bunny, a white. Niggas know, but this is the smile that can fool a Caucasian.
Okay.
That's what it's giving. Additionally, many of their YouTube videos had over 1 million views. So there was a Zoom meeting that was scheduled between Goldman Sachs Assets Manager Division and YouTube to discuss the merits of the investment. The scheduled participants included Alex Piper, the head of unscripted programming for YouTube Originals. Piper arrived late, said he was having trouble logging into the Zoom, and suggested switching to an old-fashioned conference call. I love that because I'd be late to Zooms all the time, and it's very embarrassing because I'm like, this is in my living room, and how am I late? While on the call, Piper talked up Aussie, saying that their videos had great success and their CEO, Watson, with that Colgate smile, was a great leader. However, his voice sounded garbled as he spoke, as if he was digitally altered. After the meeting, someone from Goldman Sachs reached out to Piper through Piper's assistant at YouTube, which is when things got a little weird. Piper said he never spoke with anybody at Goldman Sachs and had no knowledge of the meeting taking place. YouTube began an investigation, but within days, Mr. Watson was on the phone apologizing, saying that the voice on the call belonged to Sameer Rayo, the co-founder and chief operating officer at Aussie. In the apology, Mr. Watson attributed the incident to a mental health crisis. staying on the form of mental health, he was like, oh, my friend Raul, he crazy, and that's why he impersonated somebody that y'all know. In the apology, Mr. Watson attributed the incident, you know, to a mental health crisis. The explanation satisfied the Aussie-owned board, but did not explain the company's other discrepancies, such as dubious claims about its audience size. So they're inflating the numbers. Hello, Facebook. The FBI neither confirms nor denies the investigation, though sources close say that they have contacted the executives of Aussie. But a quick update in Carlos's defense. Come on, Colgate. According to Variety, he said that Aussie Media will not be shutting down. He spoke to his investors, including Goldman Sachs, to salvage Aussie Media. So, honey, we will see. We will see. I don't know. This man with the Colgate smile, I love him. I love a good scammer.
But wait, somebody scammed Goldman Sachs? They're the ones that...
Goldman Sachs are scammers. That makes sense.
They're the ones that caused the financial crisis.
Yes, and they got bailed out. And we don't get bailed out, but they get bailed out with our money. It's very ghetto here.
Okay, Carlos. I'm going to say, Carlos, go ahead and scam.
We stand beside you. Okay, that's my man, and I'm gonna stand beside him.
That's my man.
Oh wait, he's your man now. You were just wanting the fucking trans man that had been dead.
Percy is dead. I can't be with him.
You want that thing dead for 100 years from Australia? My God.
I don't even know where Percy dead at to be with him. I can't even visit his grave. So
what would you do with him if you did know?
I mean, listen, we can have a nice little, I could be by the grave with flowers, taking Instagram photos. We could get married. Like, what, he gonna say no, you know?
Well, you know what? If you do go there and find his grave and put flowers on it for your Instagram, I'd be very curious to see how many likes it got.
I feel like it would do well. I feel like people would be like, oh my God, Lacey, we're so happy for you. You finally found somebody. Like, wow. I would have a wedding too. I have a registry.
Oh my Lord.
And that would be my scam. I marry a dead person. Like, what they gonna do?
They're not gonna fuck you.
You know what? But that's fine. Okay. I just want the documents, get a little ring, get a little party going, you know, everybody be able to say nice things about me. We do it at the gravesite, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Walk me down the aisle of the cemetery. It could be cute.
Yeah, Bunny walk you down the aisle.
Bunny, very, I know you would walk me down the aisle of the cemetery. Don't play like you wouldn't.
She's very masculine in that way.
I would lock you in the cemetery.
But at the end of the show, we always ask, not lock me in. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At the end of the show, we always ask, where would you like to be found? So any socials, anything you guys want to plug, go ahead.
So you guys can check out our podcast, Ebony and Irony. You can get it anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Play. Wherever. I mean, who really uses Google Play? If you are using Google Play, grow up. And you can find me on all social media at Monet Exchange, M-O-N-E-T, the letter X, the word change. And on this new season of All Star 7, every Thursday, Friday, whatever day comes out on Paramount Plus, I'll be there.
Okay, and I am at LadyBunny77. No, I'm not. I am at
official. Lady Bunny, what's going on?
You can't torment seniors with social media. I am on Instagram at official_lady_bunny. And please join me to talk shit about everyone. We have loved talking shit with you, Monet, and I have a podcast. We just got started chatting on the phone during COVID and said, let's turn this into a podcast. It's so much fun, and getting to know you was a blast. You are outrageous.
You guys are fantastic. As always, guys, snitch on your friends and family at scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. If you want to follow me and my shenanigans, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I-D, Lacey on all platforms except for TikTok, where I'm Lacey Mosley. And at Paramount Plus, iCarly Season 2 streaming now. You can also get into RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars at the same damn time.
Yeah.
Season 2 of a Black Lady Sketch Show. You can find my black ass there. I'm not on Season 3. Stop asking. Congregation, stay scheming.
This has been an Earwolf production in association with Team Coco. Scam Goddess stars and is hosted by me, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. Scam Goddess. It's produced by Judith Cargbo, engineered by Marina Faiz, and researched by Kaylin Brandt. Stay scheming!
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.